I'm talking to Michael Swain, who's the executive director of Freedom of Religion South Africa, better known as 4SA, about a meeting that's been happening between a coalition of religious organizations who are meeting with the Minister of Education to express concerns about a teacher training program that is known as the Early Childhood Education Toolkit, ECE. And these guys, the team at 4SA, is always so great to keep us up to date with what's happening in the legal sphere, what is happening within the political space that we sometimes, as average South Africans, we could miss. It could be caught in the news and we're not really understanding what that looks like for us on the ground. And Michael Swain is here to tell us all about that. Michael, welcome to Drive 326. It's great to be chatting to you. It feels like it's been forever since the last time that we spoke, but it's good to have you back.
Yes, too long. And if you want to know about encouragement, I'm encouraged to be on your show. So thank you for that.
I love that. I love that very much. But I'm more interested in the conversation we're about to have, because I think what I always look forward to chatting to you, Michael, is it feels like you shine a light on a world that's existing around the world we're also living in, that more often than not, the average South African tends to miss. So let's talk specifically about this one. I mean, this teacher training program is something that I would have just seen and kind of carried on, but not even understanding the weight behind this particular ECE toolkit. Let's maybe tell us the background behind this meeting, and then we'll talk about the members of the coalition and be able to take it from there. Tell us the background behind this meeting.
Well, we discovered over a year ago now, in fact, that the Department of Basic Education had developed this teacher training program for pre-primary and primary school teachers. So we're talking about little children here. The ages are sort of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And what this program has done, and it should also be noted that it's been developed thanks to an international grant from a Belgian organization called VVOB, and in partnership with the University of Stellenbosch, is it effectively teaches teachers to create a culture of transgenderism in the pre-primary and primary school classrooms. And to give you a couple of examples, you know, one of the things that little children are to be asked, according to this training, is for their preferred name and their preferred pronoun and their choice of whatever toilet they would like to use. It also tells the little children that in classes, they no longer want to use teachers, or they're no longer supposed to be using he and she pronouns. They're supposed to be using they, them pronouns. And the purpose of this, according to the training, is to show little children that just because somebody looks like a little boy, they might be a little girl. So this is a very serious thing. And the problem is, and you said it at the beginning, and I think correctly, that a lot of parents simply just aren't aware of this. A lot of people just simply aren't aware of this. And of course, the Department of Basic Education has actually said to us that they see no need for this to be made available, this information, to parents, because they say that it's simply teacher training. But of course, you have to ask the question, well, who are the teachers then going to be teaching with the training that they've received, and what are they going to be teaching them? And so we very much believe that parents should be aware of this. That's one of the reasons why we're going to be meeting with the Department of Basic Education, with the minister tomorrow in Parliament in Cape Town, because we want to really ask as strongly as we possibly can for this to be made available to parents so they can see and therefore have the opportunity to comment on the type of teaching that is going to be introduced into the pre-primary and primary school ages. Of course, our other convictions, of course, that this is actually age inappropriate. How can a child possibly discern what they're being taught? And potentially very divisive, because part of the training says that teachers are supposed to say to little children that if their parents have told them that there are any men and women and boys and girls, this is actually harmful and holding them back in life. So it's very deeply divisive as well, potentially.
So many questions and so many concerns that's coming up, so many red flags and lights going off in my head as you're saying this. But let me sort of be slow in breaking this down. Let's start off with the coalition that's been happening of all the different religious leaders. What then caused the forming that this coalition be formed as it's approaching the minister in this case?
Well, understandably, all faith groupings agree that the, let's say, the more conservative traditional values of families, of the understanding that there are, in fact, two genders, that these are commonly held views by multiple faiths, in fact, almost every faith. And of course, as soon as you have a program which really teaches not an inclusive view of this, but really an exclusive, a very sort of like conformist view of sex and gender, then, of course, that potentially marginalizes and potentially alienates people who do hold to these traditional faith views and values. And so the different faith structures have united together around this common concern. And that includes members of the Evangelical Alliance of South Africa. They represent some of the major denominational churches, about 4 million Christians in total. An organization called SACOF, that is the South African Community of Faith-Based Fraternals and Federations. They represent about 5 million Christians from something like 21,500 churches. An organization called Nkululeko Yazizwe Association, which represents many of the traditional African spirituality churches, and also the United Ulama Council of South Africa, known as UKSA, who represent most of the Islamic faith community. So we're talking about senior level representation, representing approximately 20 million people. That's a huge number of families. And they're meeting with the minister really because they are deeply concerned that this type of teacher training is going to very negatively impact and affect the families whose spiritual lives they're obviously caring for.
Let's talk about the fact that, I mean, this is, we're having this conversation on the back of two previous meetings that's already been had with the Department of Basic Education. And I think a lot of times when we have these conversations, I always go, Michael, is there something that I can do now? Am I in a space where I've missed it? It's too late. It's about to be implemented next week, or it's already being implemented. Is there still some headway, quote unquote, that can still be done, even though these two meetings have occurred with the Department of Basic Education?
No, very much so. I mean, this is an ongoing process. And of course, you know, the reason why we're meeting with the department is to also be constructive and to be part of the solution. We're not just going there to be combative. You know, the department is trying to deal with very real issues that it's facing. It obviously is deeply concerned about the plague of gender-based violence and femicide in the country. They're very concerned about bullying in schools. And they believe that somehow this training will actually help to alleviate that. We don't believe that's the case, but we do have alternative suggestions that we want to put to them to help to be part of the solution to these very serious problems. So, yes, there is still plenty that people can do. You know, the two meetings that we've had previously, they weren't very satisfactory, which is why we're meeting again. There is now, of course, a new Minister of Basic Education. And we are hoping that we will have a more open-eared, open-hearted, open-minded discussion with the Minister tomorrow to be part of the solution. There is on the 4SA website, I should also say, if you go to forsa.org.za, which is our website, right on the homepage, you'll see an image. You can click if you want more information about this, because you can see for yourself what's happening. And if you want to then send a message to the Department of Basic Education, then there's another link that will take you through to a platform where you can actually make a comment on it. And we do encourage people to do that, because obviously the more people who raise their voices in concern, perhaps, then obviously the more likely the department is to take this issue seriously, as it should be.
Let's talk about the solutions. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, a lot of times it can be easy to assume that the response is a very combative response to say, no, this should not happen and whatever. But to actually to partner in and say, hey, we see it different in addressing that same scenario that you're trying to resolve of bullying and gender-based violence and femicide. This is perhaps a solution that we think might be a better alternative while not impinging on so many religious rights. What are some of the solutions that's been proposed by the coalition in this particular meeting with the minister that they're presenting?
Well, the first thing that we obviously want to do is to make sure that we clarify the issues. You know, the department have basically said effectively that if parents are teaching their children, let's say, these traditional views and values on sex and gender, that is also encouraging them to bully those who may be different. And of course, you can't conflate the two issues. It's absurd to do so. So we want to make sure that that is obviously clarified. And also, we believe that if the idea is to obviously combat gender-based violence and femicide, then arguably teaching little children that there is actually no distinction between men and women or boys and girls, that is actually simply blurring the line and making the whole issue more confused. Mm. You know, if you think about it logically, how can you combat femicide, which is exclusively the murder of women by a man, if you actually don't define for little children that there's any difference between the two? And what about safe spaces for women? You know, what about the real, you know, serious issues that women are facing and needing sort of shelters for women? I mean, how do you start to distinguish that if you're teaching children there's no difference between men and women? So we, number one, want to clarify that we don't believe that this is actually a solution that's going to work. And number two, we also want to say that there needs to be a more inclusive approach within the Department of Basic Education. You know, they've actually set up a unit called the Social Inclusion and Diversity in Education. We're producing these and other similar materials, by the way. But of course, they are not actually including all views or a diversity of views. And we believe that that is really what needs to happen. And so our suggestion, our proposal, is that a Family Values and Parental Rights unit be established within the DBE to ensure that there is a true representation of diverse views and values, that these are properly considered when the department is developing whatever it's developing, whether it's bills or policies or regulations or protocols or guidelines or whatever it is. And we believe that that would be able to draw then the best thinking from members of communities and organizations who obviously are also dedicated to upholding the constitutional rights and religious and cultural communities' rights, so that there is a true diversity. That is the rich tapestry of South African society, and we believe that it will be a positive recognition that the family is obviously the natural unit and the basis of society to actually have such a unit established within the DBE.
I think a lot of us, we're listening to this conversation right now, and there's something that's moving in us because it looks so different to the picture of family that we're so rightfully saying, like you're saying, Michael, that we're trying to protect and build this, which already in society is such a broken picture, and we're trying to ensure that it's represented well within our four walls. But it seems like the one place where they spend the most hours in a day, it's seeming to create a space where it's creating a picture that doesn't look like the house, doesn't look like society, and looks like something completely different. Michael, there's parents that might be listening to this and like to know more about the work that you do at 4SA, but also would love to have their voice heard, like you rightfully say, in terms of making sure they speak to the department and have their message sent to the department. How can they go about doing this?
Well, I think the important thing for parents to understand as well is that according to the law, parents have the inalienable right to educate their own children with their views and their values, especially in the early years of child education. And so the law is firmly on the side of parents, and the schools actually are supposed to support and undergird those rights, not actually cut across them. But yes, by all means, do go to the 4SA website, forsa.org.za. Have a look. You can see more information on this ECE toolkit specifically. And there's also a link where you can actually send a direct communication to the Department of Basic Education on this matter. Yeah. So we certainly will be in Parliament tomorrow, meeting with the minister, and we trust that she will have an open ear, an open mind, and an open heart.
Yeah, Michael, it's always such a pleasure to be chatting to you. I say this every time we speak. I am so grateful for the work that you and the team at 4SA do to be a voice and an ear for us, because like I rightfully said at the start of this, a lot of times this is something that we miss as the family and loved ones of those that may be affected by this. And I think it's great to be able to know there's an organization that says, hey, we will stand firm for the freedom of religion of those in South Africa, no matter what it takes, no matter how many back and forth it takes in Parliament and court or High Court or wherever it is, to be able to stand firm for the freedom of religion in South Africa. In actual fact, just as a fun fact, I was talking to my manager just a little bit earlier on, and I was telling about something that happened this weekend where someone is speaking boldly in a very public platform about making a case for Christ. And I found this to be really fantastic in a space that one wouldn't have expected in a education facility, institution. And she was saying something so true. She said, South Africa is still among the few nations where one can be able to speak so openly about Christ versus many parts of the world. And I think this is something that we ought to stand firm and fight for, not just for our faith in terms of going to church, but especially when it comes to those relating to the lives of our children and generations to come, that they might grow in a South Africa that represents the faith that they have and the religion that they stand so firmly for. So thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Michael.
100%. That's what we stand for, faith and freedom. And we've been standing for the last 10 years for this.
Yeah.
And that is actually why you don't have the same challenges that you are now facing in other countries. So please do support us in any way you can.
Oh, 100%. Michael, thank you so much.